shape right now. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Kentucky's Republican governor is taking some heat for something he said about the cold. Governor Matt Bevin saying when he said earlier this week that America is going soft for closing schools due to cold weather, well, it was taken out of context by the media.
What you're quoting is two ends of a sentence, the middle of which I said, certainly we need to err on the side of safety.
He spoke on Fox News. Many of Kentucky's schools did close yesterday, and many will be closed again today because of that frigid weather. A jury is awarding Senator Rand Paul more than $580,000 after he's attacked by his neighbor. The Kentucky Republican was tackled by Rene Boucher in November 2017 as Paul was simply mowing his lawn. He suffered 6 broken ribs and 3 fractures. There were complications during his recovery as well. The jury awarding Paul $375,000 in punitive damages and $200,000 for pain and suffering and nearly $8,000 in additional medical expenses. Boucher pleaded guilty in March to assaulting a member of Congress and was also given 30 days in prison. And in South Florida, police and the FBI are looking into a tunnel that was discovered yesterday that appears to lead into a bank. Police also found muddy boots, a homemade ladder, a stool, and digging tools in that tunnel. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Welcome to a special edition of Legends of Success with John Resnick. Today, legendary CBS News anchorman Walter Cronkite. Mr. Cronkite passed away at the age of 92 in 2009. John had the good fortune and honor of visiting and chatting with this American icon a few years earlier. We learned how he began broadcasting the news as a child, how he worked his way to the top, and his memories delivering the biggest news stories of the century, including the death of President Kennedy and the first man on the moon. It's a best of legends with America's anchorman, Walter Cronkite. It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. the program that offers you a chance to meet America's most respected business leaders and acclaimed individuals as they share with you firsthand their personal journey of making it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and I thank you for taking time to join us today. When we debuted this program on January 12th of 2002, my goal was to invite those we refer to as legends from both the business and leadership world. And for the most part, we've kept our promise to you as week after week, you've met outstanding individuals. But if there was ever a man who personifies the words American legend, without a doubt, it's Walter Cronkite. Everyone knows who he is, and most of us grew up watching him as he calmed us through wars, horrific assassinations, depressions, and recessions. But somehow, he always convinced us that there was better news ahead. So it's no wonder why Walter Cronkite has earned the distinct reputation as the most trusted man in America. It is my pleasure and my honor to welcome today's guest, Walter Cronkite. Walter, welcome to Legends of Success.
Well, thank you very much. I'm honored that you would include me in your group of interviews.
Well, I will tell you, Mr. Cronkite, I mean it. If anyone personifies those words, American legend, you've certainly lived up to it, and you've been a calming voice for so many of us over the years. We thank you. But I do have one question right out of the box. Everyone, I mean, you do have the reputation. America loves you and has loved you for years. Did you ever think about running for president?
Well, I was, no, that was, it's never, I don't think anybody ever suggested it seriously. Some people trying to butter me up a bit said, you know, you ought to run for president, but I obviously did not take that seriously. I might have if the individuals were important enough to, but I can't recall that any of them were. They were just friends who had a brief spasm of imagination, I would say. However, I was suggested several times seriously by political leaders, requested to run for other offices, particularly Senate of the United States. And I must say I was pleased with that, and really had some inclination. I told them several times I would be delighted to serve if I didn't have to run.
Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, but seriously, I don't know if they're trying to butter you up on the presidency, but I think even especially as you look back, I think you'd have done better than several of the ones we've had in there.
Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah. Well, and you've had the good fortune to know a number of presidents over the years. And before I go back into the history, I'm just curious, do you have a personal favorite, Walter?
Well, in a way, I do. And because I think he was actually the brainiest, not necessarily politically smartest, but the brainiest president we've had. And that's Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter. I like his personality. I liked his role in the presidency, although, as I say, I do not think that he was politically as astute as he might have been, but the brain power was there. I was told, I've never confirmed this, but I was told, and I believe it's true because he's that kind of person, that he actually read every bill he ever signed into law. And those bills run 500 pages or more apiece, most of them, and they're very complicated. But he was the sort of fellow who read that quickly and could have done it, and I believe would have and perhaps did. You know that he, of course, was a nuclear physicist. He graduated right near the top of his class at Annapolis in nuclear physics. And helped design and build our first nuclear submarines.
Yeah,
and a person with that kind of brain has got to be darn smart. And he when I interviewed him on a couple of occasions, his knowledge of the detailed knowledge of our history in the details of some of the bills that were passed. Decades and decades ago, he was absolutely intimately acquainted with. I was most dumbfounded.
It is pretty amazing. You know, we had the good fortune of having President Carter as a guest on this program, and Billy and I had the just amazing opportunity to get down and meet him and share some time with President Carter. Good fortune of having President Carter as a guest on this program, and my fiance Billy and I had the just amazing opportunity to get down and meet him and share some time with President Carter. He is such a humble person and obviously brilliant.
He certainly was honest, but not too honest. I'm not sure that being too honest is necessarily a political handicap. If you are discreet in the use of facts and are honest at all times and not dishonest, I would think that is a major advantage and plus in the office of the presidency or in any other role in life. The really problem with Jimmy Carter was that he lived up to his campaign promise. His campaign promise was that he was going to turn his back on Washington. Hmm. Well, you can't run the country by turning your back on Washington. You've got to get along with those in Washington. You've got to be able to persuade them. You've got to be able to dissuade them. And he really did try to do what he thought was right without feeling that he needed to have the permission or the agreement of those on Capitol Hill.
Let's go back to where you were born. You know, as we look back, and I did a little research on your life, I don't think you ever had any years that you weren't in the news business in some form or another. But let's go.
It started pretty quickly. I carried papers around my neighborhood in Kansas City, Missouri, mm-hmm. when I was about 5 or 6 years old, I think. That's not quite true. I carried them when I was around 7. Actually sold them on the street corner when I was 7 years old. My parents were appalled and did everything possible to talk me out of that. I insisted and went down to the place where the streetcar line terminated a few blocks from our house and sold the morning papers down there. But anyway, before that, I had my first experience in journalism, I guess, when Harding died.
Mm-hmm.
And when the president died, the boys came through the neighborhood selling the extra newspapers. We didn't even have radio then, you know.
Sure.
And the newspaper extra was the way we got the breaking news when it was that important. When my mother went out and paid her 2 cents for the Kansas City Times, I couldn't wait to go down the block to tell my best friend, Al Darling, his name was. His name was actually Darling. I didn't call him that.
Yeah.
Darling, they lived in a big house down on Swope Parkway down the block, and I was about a year older than when with Al, and I kind of tutored him as a 5 year old, 6 months older than he was or something, and I ran down the block and yelled for him to come out of his house, and I said, "President Harding is dead. President Harding is dead." And I don't think he knew who President Harding was, but I was carrying the newspaper to show him, and there was a big picture of Harding, a black line picture, of course, on the front page. And I know that I, even at that time, was making mistakes in what I was telling my listening audience. I said to him, and I don't know where I got this idea, I said, "Al, look at that picture. That's the last picture you'll ever see of President Harding."
Oh, no. You were delivering all kinds of news to him.
You know, I had to build on the story a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are honored today on Legends of Success to have exclusive interview with American icon Walter Cronkite. I'm John Resnick. We'll be back right after this.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine, and you're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick.
Direct from our newsroom in Washington, in color, this is the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Good evening. Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee. Police have issued an all-points bulletin for a well-dressed young white man.
Today is a highlight in the broadcast of Legends of Success and in my personal life as well, as we welcome Walter Cronkite, American icon. Walter, we're having a fascinating story hearing about how you started out at your earliest years. Just as a youngster, you're in the news business from day one, as soon as you could almost walk, weren't you?
That's right, yeah. I had to toddle around to tell people in the neighborhood the news that I had just absorbed from the newspaper. I was a news junkie from the beginning of my life, practically.
I love it. Now,
that was inherited from my parents.
Yeah, you were an only child, were you not, Walter?
I was indeed.
Yeah, and was that lonely growing up, or did you go out and make friends real quick?
Oh, I had some very close friends all the way through life. I don't know that I made a lot of them. Later on, when I understood the politics of life, I chastised myself for not making more friends deliberately. But I never did that. I never went around soliciting friendship just because I thought it might do me some good someday.
Sure.
The friends I made were all made through the course of my life.
Let me ask you, speaking of friends, let's go back to Houston when you were in high school. You had, not only speaking of friends, but the importance of a mentor, a gentleman by the name of Fred Burney. Can you share a story of why that man was so important in your young life at that time?
Well, if it hadn't been for Fred Burney, I'm not sure I would have become a journalist, although I certainly had a bent that way. But he felt that there ought to be journalism classes for students in high school. and there hardly were any of those in the country at that time. But he, as a retired editor, one of the city editor, actually, one of the newspapers in Houston, he convinced the school board that he would contribute his time, and it so happened there were five high schools in Houston, some quite minor compared to the major one that I went to, San Jacinto High School, or South End High, as it once was known. But at any rate, he talked them into letting him teach a class in journalism once a week in each of the five high schools. And when he came to San Jacinto High School, and I immediately signed up for his journalism course, he was an inspiration in journalism. He was really a man who lived it, who lived the principles of journalism, who was absolutely a fanatic about accuracy and honesty and fairness and balance, and he drove those principles into us with every once a week hour we had, plus the fact that he was the sponsor of a paper that he managed to get. I think we had four issues a year. The Campus Cub, the San Jacinto Campus Cub.
Wow.
And I was fortunate enough to be one of the editors of that.
Well, I realize you've been involved in news all through your young life and in your middle age, et cetera. But the question, you hit a couple points right on the head here, Walter. Talk about responsibility and ethics. Can we believe the news that we watch today as much as when you were an anchor? It seems that we're losing some credibility out there due to the pressure of all these different networks and cable channels, and it's like something's missing. Can we believe in what we see in here?
Oh, yes. I think that most of the time you can. Of course, there are more opportunities for mistakes and errors and perhaps even a little of politics of the management slipping in now that we have all of these outlets of news. I think that the traditional networks and the more important of the cable networks are doing quite good work. I don't agree with the concern over those outlets. Where we have some concern is some of the lesser known outlets, perhaps, and I'm not even sure about that because you can't watch them all, and I don't watch those that I have decided I would rather skip. It's not a matter of choosing those I'd rather skip. It's a matter of choosing those I'd like to listen to, and that's only two or three.
Yeah, well put. Well, you know, as you went on, you went to University of Texas at Austin, but then eventually you shifted out into a professional career. What caused the shift to say, okay, enough of school for a while, I'm going after my career?
Well, the depression, mostly. Mm-hmm. We were suffering the depression in Texas, finally, that came a little later than it did to most of the country. But it had gotten pretty tight, and I felt that I was a drain on my my family being just my father and mother as an only child. But I still thought I was a drain, and furthermore, I was a lot of my friends who were graduating from college with journalism degrees were not finding jobs, and I was offered a job with a group of newspapers represented at the state capitol in Austin. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a chance to work as a journalist and to actually learn a great deal practically on the job. But very soon after I took it as a part-time job, they offered me a full-time job, really, as a reporter at a very young age, but as a reporter of a three-man bureau covering covering the Congress, the legislature.
Sure.
And this was an experience that I enjoyed immensely. I've always have liked covering politics. I cut my eye teeth on that job, and when they said that it had to be full-time or not at all, I made the choice of full-time.
Mm, and a wise decision for all of us, thank God you did. There's a report.
I wish I'd gotten my degree. I've rather cursed myself through the years for not having gone back and gotten it.
It's never too late, Walter.
Well, you can say that.
No, come on. You know, Walter, I've been complimenting you on the breaks about your amazing recall and your clarity. What is the secret to a strong, active, long life?
Well, I don't think there's any question that, as the doctors are all saying now, we hear more about health on our television sets than we do about the president almost these days, and that's probably a good idea. But I do think that an active life is absolutely important. If the active life can be just primarily athletic to keep the old heart beating well, and that's mine was tennis and sailing mostly, two sports that I still indulge in. The tennis has been laid aside for a little while with a torn Achilles tendon that I'm rather proud. I got playing singles at the age of 84.
God bless you.
Yeah. So,
that's amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we're going to find out when President Lyndon Johnson said, if I've lost Walter Cronkite, I've lost Middle America. Where did that quote come from, and what scared President Johnson about Walter Cronkite? We're going to ask Mr. Cronkite that when we get back. You're listening to Legends of Success.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com. We responded to your calls and emails and now post each week's show for you to listen to free of charge at legendsofsuccess.com. Every week, a great guest to listen to, learn from, and enjoy at your convenience. Look for the link right on the main page at legendsofsuccess.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Around a dozen fatalities now blamed on the dangerous cold weather that's been gripping the nation's Midwest for days, where in places there have been wind chills at times of below 50 below zero. That weather is now affecting the Northeast U.S. as well as the northern Mid-Atlantic states. And in Pennsylvania, a snow squall late yesterday caused a chain reaction crash involving over two dozen vehicles. This man says he was in it and tried to help other drivers.
We tried to get out everybody we could, but there was a couple vehicles that you couldn't get the doors open or anything.
Over 20 people were injured in that crash near Philadelphia. President Trump set to meet with China's top trade official at the White House today, hoping to end a trade war. Trump tweets this morning the meetings have been going well, but no final deal will come until he meets with China's president. And this is USA Radio News.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
This is a special edition of Legends of Success with legendary CBS News anchorman Walter Cronkite. It is our honor to present our visit and chat with an American icon, America's anchorman, Walter Cronkite.
Armstrong is on the moon. Neil Armstrong, 38-year-old American, standing on the surface of the moon on this July 20th, 1969.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
We're back on Legends of Success. Our exclusive guest today, Walter Cronkite, American news icon, American legend. One of the common elements or denominators I found with many Legends of Success who are just outstanding individuals is that somewhere along the line, whatever they dreamed to do or what they had a drive to do, their passion, they were told they're never going to make it. Wasn't there a gentleman somewhere in your broadcast career when you're a very young guy, a guy by the name of Hartfield Whedon, that said,
Yeah,
well, tell me that story. I heard that's a good one.
Well, I was in Austin while I was in college still. I got a job, which was paid virtually nothing, of doing an evening sports spot, 5-minute sports spot on a local radio station. There was an opening for a full-time announcer. And this was before I got my newspaper job.
Sure.
And I was kind of enamored of radio, and I applied for that full-time job as an announcer at the station. And Hartfield was the manager of the station, or the chief producer, or something of the kind. And he wasn't much older than I, and he said, "Walter, forget it. You're never going to be a radio announcer."
Mm. And I wonder what he's doing.
He didn't say I'd never be a news person. He said, "You're never going to be a radio announcer."
Aren't we glad he was wrong?
It turned out that he was wrong to a degree anyway. Hartfield went on to become one of the major officers of the CBS on the West Coast in radio. And I never quit teasing him about the fact that I would never become a radio announcer.
You're humble. Before we took a break, and during this show, we've been talking about Mr. Cronkite's experience. I guess he's known so many presidents. We talked a little bit earlier about Jimmy Carter. But, Walter, at one point there was a quote where President Lyndon Johnson said, and I guess it went down in history, this quote, "If I've lost Walter Cronkite, I've lost Middle America." What was he talking about, and how did you scare him?
Well, at the time of the Tet Offensive, terrible Tet Offensive in Vietnam,
yes,
I immediately said I wanted to go out there. I'd been out there before, but I felt that with this Tet Offensive, I better get out there and see it for myself. So I asked the company, of course, my boss, a wonderful man named Dick Salant, who was the president of CBS News. I said, "I wanted to go. Can I?" And he said, "Of course. If you want to go, you should go." And I was going to do a full coverage, a documentary almost, of the Tet Offensive. Depending on how it went, at the time I went, it looked like we were going to be going pretty quickly.
Sure.
We were really sweeping into the South. So anyway, I did go. When I came back, I stayed not very long, 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. I don't know exactly. But anyway, it may have been less than that. But I got up north halfway and around where the major part of the fighting was going on. And I had a great cameraman, as all of ours were out there. The CBS cameramen were, you can't say enough about them. They had to be in the action.
What guts?
You know, a reporter can kind of duck behind the trees or back stay back in Saigon.
Sure.
But the cameraman has to be with the action, and those guys were taking their life in their hands every day of the week as they were covered Vietnam. I you can't say enough about them. But anyway, we came back with some great footage. And doing the documentary, Dick Salant, our president of CBS News, I mentioned earlier, was a stickler for straight reporting. No opinion should appear anywhere in our broadcasting unless it was labeled as such, like we had Eric Severide on twice a week.
with the opinion piece and editorial.
Sure.
There were. But I came back and I'm writing my script for this documentary, and Salant comes in and we have a chat, and he said, "What do you really think of the situation out there?" And I said, "Well, I think that we should get out of there right now. We're losing people all the time. The death toll was terrible for us, of course, and we are killing an awful lot of Vietnamese civilians. In other words, the story of Iraq.
Sure.
It was Vietnam, and we were losing a lot more soldiers in Vietnam than we're even losing, as terrible the loss is, in Iraq. But anyway, I said, I think, Dick, that really we ought to be getting out of there. I mean, we could negotiate our way out of there, and we just don't seem to have the will to do it." And he said, "Why don't you write that?"
Wow.
And I said, "Well, it's personal opinion." He said, "We're going to forgive it this time. If you want to do an end piece, a little editorial, I'm all for you."
Mm.
And so really, he talked me into it. And I did a piece saying just about what I've said to you right now, that we ought to get out of Vietnam. And so I guess I made a pretty good point of it, because the president in the Oval Office with some of his staff would gather around, and they would watch all three of the networks who were on about the same time.
But sure.
They could tape them, I guess, if they couldn't actually watch them live. But anyway, they turned them on and off. And the president, when I made this closing statement of my documentary, he got up from his chair and went over and snapped off the television set and angrily said, "Well, if I've lost Cronkite, I guess I've lost Middle America."
And boy, wasn't that an historical statement. And I'll tell you, Walter, I've got your exact quote here. And you said, "It is increasingly clear that the only rational way out will be to negotiate, not as victors, but as an honorable people who lived up to the pledge to defend democracy." And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I've been saying about Walter Cronkite. No matter whether it's war, recession, depression, or presidential assassination, he always told us there will be brighter days ahead. When we get back, we're going to ask him about the day Kennedy was shot, where he was, and how it affected him. I'm John Resnick, and this is Legends of Success.
If you are a baby boomer with $200,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with $200,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
one-on-one conversation with the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs and business people alive today. This is Legends of Success.
Walter Cronkite is our exclusive guest today on Legends of Success. This really is a momentous time for me and my career and my life to have the honor to bring on American legend Walter Cronkite. Walter, before we took a break, I wanted to ask you, where were you the day President Kennedy was shot? How did you find out? And my next question after that is, could you deliver the news without crying to the American people?
Well, there was no problem my finding out. I was in the newsroom at CBS that morning. I was there every morning around 9 o'clock to start preparing the day's evening news program from my desk as managing editor of the program. And I was at my desk when our editor was over at the teletype machines, United Press, AP, and a couple of other teletype machines delivering the news to us all day long, 24 hours a day. And he was over there, and I heard the bells ring. The United Press rang five bells for a bulletin.
Wow.
Bing, 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 bing. And is that five? If not, it should have been.
That was. You did very well.
Right. At any rate, he was over looking at just happened to be at the machines at that moment when the bells rang. And as an old United Press man, I was very keen on that five bells. I knew that had to be quite a story.
Sure.
And I looked up and said, what is it? What is it? And he said, oh, my God, they've shot the president. And he said they shot at the president. And I said, oh, my God. We knew that there was some concern in Dallas because the fact that there were a lot of people that disliked the president very much down there, and it even to their own horror had taken it full page in the Dallas Morning News, I think it was, saying they didn't want the president in Dallas. It was a terrible thing for them to do, and they certainly regretted it, of course, later as things turned out. But at any rate, I jumped up to look at the machine myself rather than wait for him to tear it out and bring it to me. And as I got there, that another five bells said the president appeared to have been hit by gunshot fire, and his car is on the way to a hospital.
I'm John Resnick. You're listening to Legends of Success.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 For more information about any of our programs or to join, NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
You know who they are, and now you get to meet them. These are America's Legends of Success with John Resnick.
This is Walter Cronkite in our newsroom. There has been an attempt, as perhaps you know now, on the life of President Kennedy. He was wounded in an automobile driving from Dallas Airport into downtown Dallas, along with Governor Connally of Texas. They've been taken to Parkland Hospital there, where their condition is as yet unknown. From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has left the hospital in Dallas, but we do not know to where he has proceeded. Presumably, he will be taking the oath of office shortly and become the 36th President of the United States.
We're talking with Walter Cronkite, finding out what happened when the news came across the wire that President Kennedy was shot. Walter, tell us.
Well, I said, let's get on the air, of course, and everybody else is yelling the same thing around there. The producers, Don Hewitt was the producer of the program at the time. The guy who made history, of course, was 60 Minutes.
Sure.
He was a great producer, a news producer, and he already was arranging to get us the camera. The problem was that at that time in the newsroom, they brought the camera to us late in the day, just in time for us to do the broadcast from the newsroom. So that camera was on the way up when we had to get on the air. We couldn't wait for the camera to get my picture. It wouldn't mount to anything, or the picture we could pick it up from Dallas would have amounted to a lot. But anyway, we didn't have a camera. So instead, I went into the so-called announce booth. We had this emergency booth there that in case we wanted to get on the air, they could superimpose a bulletin from CBS News on whatever the television show was at the time.
Wow.
And it was with no pictures that put on a news report. So that's what I did. I dived into that announce booth, and right away the slide came up, a bulletin from CBS News, and started reporting on the events, ad-libbing, of course, on the basis of the very skimpy material we were getting. We didn't have any picture capability at the moment. The cameras were getting to the park there in the front of the library building, but anyway, where the assassination took place.
Sure.
But anyway, by that time we were getting a few pictures, and I was telling people what they were seeing. If we didn't have a commentator, an announcer, newsman on the scene at the moment, so we went back and forth. I was filling in what we were getting from the news wires, and we were occasionally getting live reports from our very good reporters down there on the scene.
How difficult is it, Walter, to speak to the American people and say those words that the president has been shot? Was it emotional? How do you control your emotions? Did you cry? Did you have tears in your eyes? I was a young kid, but I it had to be a tough thing for you to tell the American
people. John, the thing I've found out in that particular episode
was that as long as you are covering the story and are thinking about how you are going to perform and cover, not perform, but how you're going to get facts together in order to give people a reasonably accurate portrayal of what is going on in the streets of Dallas in this particular case, you're in the same position as a fireman or a policeman or a emergency room worker, a doctor, while you're dealing with the disaster, with the bloodshed and death, whatever. Mm-hmm. You are too busy doing your job to begin to have any sentiment at all about the fact. I was hit with some sentiment when I had to, after a couple of hours of reporting what was going on, the hospital scene and so forth, I had to say, the president is dead. Mm. And when that happened, when I had to say that, I suddenly choked up a bit. I didn't actually blubber, but I certainly had tears in my eye, and I had a little trouble getting the words out. But that I overcame very soon because I had the story to tell again and the information to gather, and that occupied my time.
I tell you, you have witnessed some of the most amazing times in history. Not only witnessed, but you've been involved with history. As you look back over all the years and all, what was the most moving story you think you ever did report on? Was it the assassination of President Kennedy? Was there anything else that really jolted you out of your chair?
Well, probably the most moving story certainly was the death of the president. Although I'm such an animal lover that if we had a little feature story about a boy and his dog, I was more inclined to cry.
I love it. That is great.
The most important story, and therefore really the most exciting story, was the landing on the moon.
Oh, that is. And you've always been a big science buff, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sure have.
It's always been a big positive.
Covered the space program from the very beginning.
Well, I tell you, as we wrap up here in the next 60 seconds, I also want to commend you on such a long and successful marriage to your wonderful wife, Betsy. What's the secret for all the married folks out there?
Well, if you want to be married as we have for 65 years, I think what you better be sure you have is a little bit of a sense of humor. And in our case, it's a very well-developed sense of humor of my wife's, and I think I contribute a bit. Whenever we seem to be getting a little uptight about something, one or the other of us would make a wisecrack that would break the ice and deliver us back into a more logical discussion.
Well, whatever it is, it's worked well, and I'm glad to see you're staying active. And I just want to thank you so much for sharing time. And I'll tell you, I know you're busy, but I sure wish we could have kept you for hours, even though the show's kind of come to a close.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed being with you. The questions were very good.
Well, I appreciate it. Me, just hold on 1 second. I just want to say some thank yous. And first of all, I do want to thank Marlene Adler for her kindness from Walter Cronkite's office. She's been a fabulous help. This has been Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. We'll see you next week.
And that's the way it is, Thursday, April 4th, 1968. This is Walter Cronkite, CBS News, reporting from Washington.
Direct from our newsroom in Washington, in color, this has been the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
From Sky Pass Entertainment comes The Least of These, The Graham Stain Story.
The law states that no person shall convert or attempt to convert any person from one religious faith to another. And yet not one missionary has been charged.
When speculation mounts that a local missionary is converting locals to Christianity in India.
Leprosy is the veil behind which Stains operates, the tool he uses.
A journalist must choose between his own ambition and the truth.
You bring me evidence of illegal conversion, I'll give you a permanent position.
One day I'll find the proof of him converting the tribals.
We can't make any mistakes.
They have this law for a reason.
Hello, we must pray.
Based on the incredible true story.
You can still write the truth.
What is the truth?
Write about the work, not about me.
The Least of These. The Graham Stain Story, rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters February 1st with a special sneak peek Thursday, January 31st. For theaters and tickets, go to theleastofthese.movie.
The news is sponsored. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump is renewing warnings about large migrant caravans and the, quote, attempted invasion of illegals. The president tweeting this morning more U.S. military troops are being sent to the southern border to stop them, but he says he still wants the border wall. Meanwhile, Democrats remain cool to giving him the funding for it. U.S. Senate Democrat Chris Coons says other options are on the table.
We should be having a wide open negotiation about how much money to invest in border security, for what types of technologies, and what would be the smartest use of those investments.
He spoke on Fox and Friends. The Midwest and Northeast still in the grip of a dangerously cold Arctic system. Temperatures in Chicago with wind chill yesterday were minus 52. And today, more than 2,000 air flights have been canceled, hundreds more delayed because of the cold weather. And this is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Milk Life. Move over, avocado toast. One of the most Instagram foods may surprise you. A new study found milk is one of America's most shared foods on Instagram, and posts with milk express more joy and less negativity than posts without milk. Milk gives kids nutrients to grow strong and helps us refuel after races. But it's also part of life's real moments of happiness, meeting friends for lattes, or digging into mom's famous mac and cheese. Molly Yeh, award-winning cookbook author, blogger, and host of Food Network's Girl Meets Farm, says,
milk plays a starring role in my kitchen in my most cherished moments, like my Blintz baked French toast that I make for my brunch club. Milk is wholesome, nourishing, and real.
Milk is important in the moments and foods Americans love. Share your real moments with milk on Instagram using hashtag LoveWhat'sReal and hashtag sweepstakes for a chance to win a year's supply of milk. Visit www.milklife.com for rules and regulations. That's www.milklife.com. Milk. Love what's real.
More Americans filing first-time jobless claims. The Labor Department says this morning 253,000 filed first-time claims for benefits last week. Analysts were expecting about 215,000. The rise in claims hitting a level not seen since September 2017 and coming after claims dropped 2 weeks ago to the lowest level since October of 1969. The surge in claims last week, though, possibly because of workers impacted by the five-week partial government shutdown. Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro is now warning the U.S. of a Vietnam worse than they can imagine if President Trump sends in American troops. Trump has declared Maduro's rule illegitimate, recognizing opposition leader Juan Guaido as the rightful interim president of the South American nation. Maduro saying yesterday he's calling on the American people to reject any interference in Venezuela by the Trump administration. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show, War Now, airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
calling them naive and saying they should go back to school. President Trump publicly criticizes his own top intelligence officials for their claims at a hearing on Tuesday about threats posed by ISIS, Iran, and North Korea. Reports are the intelligence officials themselves are frustrated by the president's tweet, considering responding, but having since decided it would be counterproductive to do so. But Democrats are responding, including House Intelligence Committee Chief Adam Schiff.
You've got the best intelligence agencies in the world. Listen to what they have to say. When you ignore them, you do that at our country's peril.
NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says officiating is not an exact science. Peppered with questions at yesterday's State of the League address about a no call on a seemingly obvious pass interference play in the NFC Championship game, he says the league is looking for possible solutions to make sure that doesn't happen again, though Goodell adds,
we also know our officials are human. We also know that they're officiating a game that moves very quickly and have to make snap decisions under difficult circumstances, and they're not going to get it right every time.
A new report estimates nearly half of all U.S. adults have some form of heart or blood vessel disease, a dubious medical milestone, mostly due to recent guideline changes when it comes to high blood pressure. Taking high blood pressure out of the mix, 9% of adults have some form of heart disease. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.